No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed. And also Dennis is helping us out to round out the crew here for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And I've been flying recently, so I get to talk about my little, you know, what I did on
you
summer
sat
vacation.
In the back of an airplane.
I did some chair flying, yes, indeed.
Okay.
And I found some places where I want to go fly.
Mm-hmm.
In Wyoming, out with our buddy Clay. Captain Clay got hitched.
He got hitched.
Yeah. So I went out and watched the ceremony. It was the shortest wedding in history, all of 5 minutes. And then we played around on ATVs, hiked, and just did some really cool stuff in the Bighorns of Wyoming. You know where the Bighorns are? Trust me, it is a place you want to go fly.
Oh, well, yeah, I'd love to fly out there.
I mean, the scenery was absolutely spectacular. We had no cell service. You tried to call me several times while I was away, but
that didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Sorry.
No, I think, Ed, you're always calling me.
No, I don't ever call you.
Oh. Well.
You text me and I say, yeah, we can make it this week.
Okay. All right. Maybe that's it. Maybe that is just me.
I think my wife would love it just because there's no cell service. She would like to get me out there away from my cell phone.
Well, that might work. And now you know where to go.
Yeah.
Out there in the middle of nowhere. But we had a good old time. And I got to thank Captain Clay. We'll get him back on the show here eventually. He's been a little preoccupied, as you can imagine, over the last few weeks, getting ready for this event. So God bless him for it, and congratulations to him and the new missus.
Cool. So what's her name?
Lorray.
Oh, good. Yeah. I was expecting you didn't remember.
No, Lorray and Clay. They rock.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Lecrae. No, or Cray Lay. I don't know.
Quit while you're ahead.
Yeah. Just stop.
I was going to say he might be listening, but it's his honeymoon. He's hopefully not.
Yeah. Well, you know, knowing Clay, he probably is, actually. So give him a little shout out, as we should. All right. So I had a great time, though. And I did talk to him. I said, gosh, now that I've seen what you've been raving about for the last couple of years, because he's invited me out many times.
Yeah.
He said, you need to come out here and fly, you know, through the skies of Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Because you haven't experienced real flight until you've done so. And now I know what he means, because the scenery is just unbelievable just when you're hiking around or getting up on, you know, a big mountain cliff or whatever and taking a look and like, oh, my gosh.
Well, the visibility, the air is so clear there.
Right.
You have what looks like 10 miles is really 30 or 40 miles.
Yeah.
You know, think about going, if you ever go to Denver and you're at the airport riding into the city. The city looks like it's just there, but it takes you 30 minutes to get there because it's 30 miles outside of town.
Well, you know, we thought, hey, let's take this quick walk up this mountain.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah. And about a half an hour later, we're like, oh my gosh, it's right there. No, oh my gosh, it's another 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
But we finally got to the top and had our, like, you know, Sound of Music moment. The wheat fields were going, the whole thing. The hills are alive.
I knew he was going to do that.
And, you know, I did the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I set up a tent, by the way.
Oh, you did?
I sure did.
How many people helped you?
Just one. I was a consultant. I told him I had plenty of tent experience, especially when it comes to cleaning tents.
If he had a cell signal, I could have sent him a video of him to prove that he had experience.
Well, I told him there is a video out there on YouTube of Tent Man wandering through the aisles of Sun and Fun. And just,
Tent Man hanging the tent over his head to try to clean it out.
Yeah. And it worked. It was a little, you know, a creative, you know, setup of tents.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I, you know,
comical setup of tents.
Right.
Of
okay. Tents. Maybe a little bit of both. But yeah, I set up a tent. I did. I mean, it worked as far as I know. I left before they had to stay in it, so I wasn't going to stick around and see if the thing collapsed on them in the middle of the night. But
yeah,
But it was a great time, and I definitely, you know, we got to plan, we got to figure out a way to get from Orlando out to Wyoming and do some flying.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever been to that part of the world and flown?
I have been there via airlines.
Yes,
but
I've
not actually done small plane flying through that area.
Yeah, and I will say the commercial carrier that I flew on both there and back did a good job on mm-hmm. their landings, especially. Mm-hmm. We had some pretty greaser landings. I thought they did an excellent job, but I was watching them. I was ready to critique them. And as we, you know, they wave goodbye when you get off the plane. I'm like, hey, you need to work on that landing there, big boy. You know, the last trip I had, it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
We must have had some newbie like me flying the plane.
Yeah.
But this one, it was United.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fly the friendly skies.
Yep.
Or take out Chinese or something.
I was going to ask you something.
Did they make
Chinese take out on the flight?
But yeah, they did a good job. I got to give them props. When you know they got us there and back on time, and it was pretty uneventful, and the landings were nice.
Now, so I would imagine that's probably not the case right now. I would imagine United's system is pretty pretty messed up with the hurricane going on.
Yeah.
Right now,
yeah,
their main hub,
Hurricane Harvey. Yeah, evidently was going on while I was out there, you know, I missed a lot of the news because I was out of reach, which was probably just as well from what I saw.
It's pretty nasty.
Yeah. Have you been getting any reports from our friends out in Texas as far as, a lot of airports are like underwater.
Yeah. No,
it's
I have
a mess.
The people I know the most are the people at Redbird and they're in Austin, and they did get a lot of rain and flooding, but
I haven't really
heard anything.
We don't really know the fallout just yet.
No.
It'll take another few days or a week or two to really know how much this will affect aviation or GA.
Well, I guarantee it's going to affect avgas and jet fuel prices.
Yeah.
Any disturbance in the supply, they will use it as an excuse to raise those prices.
That may be. But as far as it affecting the airports, hopefully it's just, the storm has to get through and then the airports will be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume that'll be the case, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I mean, with the amount of water that they're experiencing, there's going to be infrastructure problems.
Yeah.
You put that much water through the system, there's going to be a problem.
Right. But we're all going to be affected by the potential gas issue, gas and stuff. But have you already even seen a little uptick? Are they doing that already?
It jumped 20 cents.
Did it really?
But that was before it hit.
It was just knowing what was coming.
It was like Tuesday morning. I went to work. It was 209. Came home. It was 229.
Yeah.
But that was the Tuesday before the storm.
Well, what about at the airport, though? Well, the FBO, have they adjusted anything? Do they do that, too?
They do a little bit, but
not as much. Reflective or immediate as the gas stations are.
No, they're not.
Okay, well, that's a good thing.
They really base it on the cost of the load they purchased that's in the tank.
Mm. Okay. Well, that's fair, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to fill up the tank and it won't be like crazy expensive on the next fill up. And you'll benefit accordingly. All right, so we'll see. Hurricane Harvey, it's still too early to know how this is going to potentially affect general aviation or the airports in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, there's been a lot of relief flights. The pilots have been jumping in and helping out as much as they can, which is nice to see.
Yep.
I've gotten several press releases from some volunteers helping out in that regard, and that's good stuff. But hopefully we'll have a little bit more about that next week on Just Plane Radio, once the water recedes and we really see, the aftermath of this incident that we've all had to encounter. And we, send our hearts and prayers out to those folks that are really being affected. Some of the stuff you see on TV is pretty hard to take.
Yeah.
So hopefully they will bounce back. I mean, they're Texans.
That's right.
Yeah. So I have a feeling they're gonna be okay in the long run. But in the short term, if you can do anything, do what you can. We'll do our best to cover it accordingly here on Just Plane Radio. All right. So, Dennis, we got to talk about you because you're getting ready to come down to us.
Well, hopefully, as long as Harvey doesn't interfere in my plans.
Yes. Well, that is true. I mean, what is the threshold that would keep you from flying from Minnesota down to Orlando?
Well, I just have to look at the weather. I mean, that's a pretty good stretch of distance to cover. We're looking at about 7 hours of flight time and a stop in between. And you know, somewhere in the Kentucky area, Bowling Green, Nashville type areas where I'm thinking, you know, it's a good first leg. It's about 3 to 3.5 hour flight.
Yeah.
My concern is, you know, what's Harvey doing? That's a pretty good sized storm. And if it winds up pushing up into the northeast, once it finally starts to move from there, it could be sitting right in the path between Minneapolis and Orlando. And that could make for a very large deviation to get around some of the heavy weather and rain.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not going to do that. It's going to suck all the crappy stuff into it, and you're going to have clear skies all the way down to Orlando. That's my prediction.
Okay. Well, let's
hope. He has as much of a chance as being right as most of the meteorologists.
Yeah, that's right. That's the only gig where you can get it. Everything right less than half the time. What is it?
You can be wrong most of the time and still get a raise.
Okay. I'll take it. I'll take it for sure. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your dive safety association.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry. Okay, now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew. As we navigate the latest aviation news and information, we've got to talk about Burning Man. That's going on right now. Quick building airport or something. I don't know what the heck they did, but they like created an airport out of nothing. Is that right?
It's out in the desert, and everybody flies in and drives in, and it's a music festival. It's just one.
So it's right down your alley. It's something that Ed is planning to go to immediately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Following today's virtual cruise to the latest aviation news and information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you just taking a backpack? Is that what you're doing? You're backpacking? Yeah, okay. We'll find out. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We got to talk about Dennis, though, first, because I want to make sure he's properly prepared for coming down to Orlando to visit us.
Yeah.
Because he's planning to do that this week, and you'll hear more about it this week. But what are you doing to prepare? Is it like preparing for a Burning Man experience? It probably is, isn't it?
Well, probably a lot less luggage to pack than Burning Man. You don't have to worry about bringing water out to the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is true. Yeah, our FBO here at Orlando Executive is pretty well equipped in that regard. So you can do that. We prefer you to wear clothes. Don't they run around in the desert naked? Isn't that what? No,
they might.
You never know. It's a party, you know.
It depends what time you're checking in with them, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but as far as preparing your Mooney 201 for its longest flight to date, what are you doing, Dennis?
Well, we got the some of the maintenance things taken care of. As you know, we got the mixture control all tuned up and working well.
And put in, reattached.
Reattached is a good thing.
Yeah.
But we also
I
got the oil.
The picture, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought you'd enjoy that.
Hey,
pull to cut
off.
Hey,
hand.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's never good.
No. But while we were in there getting that done, we also did our first oil change and got sent the oil sample out for analysis and got the results back on that. And everything seems to be doing just fine on it.
Right on.
So we're pretty happy with how everything's looking. So now it's just really a matter of, you know, figuring out the route. And you can go and lay out the straight line and try to figure out where, you know, where your fuel stops are going to be and things like that. But it'll ultimately come down to, you know, like the day before, looking at where the weather is and if do we have to go east or west. And so
you don't want to go east or west. You want to go south.
Well, right. But yeah. I mean, east or west of that line, you know.
Of that weather line.
Yeah. Understood.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's where we're kind of waiting on the final decisions of the actual routing. But, you know, right now we're kind of looking at going to like to Bowling Green, Kentucky as the first leg. And then from there, the straight line would put us right over the top of Atlanta. But as we come into the Florida Panhandle, there's some military airspace and whatnot. So we might end up going a little bit west to Ocala and then come down and around and into Orlando that way.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So you're kind of mapping up some potential paths depending on weather.
Yep.
Are you, you know, putting in like an inflatable raft like you'd be have to if you had to go fly over water or anything, or no?
No need for that because there's no real open water where we're going. We're not cutting a corner or anything like that.
But you still need a survival kit, right? Say if you go down in Ocala, the National Forest or something, you got to prepare for a gator's attack or something. You know what I mean? Have to be able to survive in the wilderness for at least like, 48 hours? Is that what we generally do? What is it, Ed?
No, we just get on our cell phone and call for help.
Oh!
Bingo.
Well, if you're in Wyoming, the cell phone wouldn't work.
That's why you file IFR.
File IFR. They'll be talking to you all the way down.
Oh, okay. But now that the eclipse has passed, you won't have any problem getting flight following either. So you should
well,
be
in
okay.
IFR, you won't have problems getting flight following.
Well, okay, if you do IFR. And that's what you're doing. You're going to do IFR, right?
I would, actually, I plan to. For a big, long flight like that, I think it would really
have to.
Take a lot of the frustration out of it trying to navigate. Just let them, you know, let them be there, your extra set of eyes and help get you through the different air spaces along the way.
Well, a long trip like that, Ed, what would you recommend? Should he have some kind of basic survival kit in the plane, shouldn't he? Like some extra water and stuff like that, or
just like driving a car, you know?
Right?
Yeah, I mean it's not like it's a harsh time of year,
no.
But you always need to be somewhat prepared.
Mosquito repellent.
But you also got to understand there's a weight and balance, and how much do you take?
Right.
You know,
well, once again, if you just get enough stuff to last you for a couple of days,
yeah,
that's what I would think. Like a little emergency kit, you know, clean underwear.
I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but most people don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, have you thought about that? Do you have a little emergency kit you have
in
the plane?
I'm not too worried. You know, I'm not too worried about it for this trip. I mean, we're going to be bringing, you know, a very small subset of luggage, which, you know, a couple of like 1 or 2 days worth of clothes.
Right.
And, you know, we can always buy tourist T-shirts if we need a clean shirt.
Well, I understand that, but I'm talking about like a little survival kit, you know, a couple little Slim Jims, a bottle of water, flashlight.
Well, I guarantee we'll have that anyway for in-flight snacks. So.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Knowing my kids, they'll already
it'll be
an assortment.
Okay. We need to consolidate your snacks. No, they're mine.
Stand away. Leave me alone. I'm starving.
This is my survival kit. Don't touch it. They're just M&Ms. No, they're not. They are survival pellets. Okay. Anyway, okay. You have planned out everything pretty well. How much fuel you think you're going to burn on a trip like this?
We're looking at 7 hours of flight time, so about 70 gallons each way.
Okay. Yeah. Have you already mapped out like the cheapest fuel stops? Too?
I haven't gone that far because you know originally we were planning on going to Bowling Green and going to tour the Corvette factory while we were there, but unfortunately we found out that is closed until 2018 now because they're doing a big model year changeover and upgrades. So my son's kind of bummed. He wanted to go see the plant. So
yeah,
Yeah.
Is that the one where the sinkhole took in all the Corvette?
That's at the museum. But yep, that's right down the street.
So that's why it's closed till 2018?
No, the Corvette factory apparently hasn't been upgraded in over 20 years. It's the same assembly line that's been used forever. And so with this model year changeover, apparently they're also modernizing the plant at the same time. So
Well, maybe that explains what I saw on my trip from where I was staying in the Bighorns in Wyoming back to Billings, Montana Airport. We passed a caravan of Corvettes. Literally, there must have been at least 20 of them lined up, really expensive ones.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe they're going to, you know, a car show or something.
Probably. Or just a car club.
It might be. It could have been something like that, too. But,
like
of course, I drove,
arrival.
I drove faster than all of them in my Subaru Outback. Just zipped right past them.
Yeah. And I bet if they would have actually put any pressure on the right pedal, they probably would have left you in their dust.
I would think so, but they didn't. They didn't challenge me. You know, I gunned the engine right there.
Okay, now I'm seeing visions of Clark W. Griswold in Vacation,
driving the family van truckster.
Yeah, family van truckster, and was it Christie Brinkley pulling up in the Ferrari?
I'm going to plead the fifth.
Was your wife sleeping during that time?
No. Okay. She was, but I didn't see no Christy Brinkley lookalikes.
Okay.
Driving a Corvette.
The glass is too tinted on those things these days, so you can't see inside. They know
better.
What
about the convertibles?
I didn't see any. I'm surprised. They were all locked up and ready to roll, so they were just cruising along in some big, long convoy of Corvettes, but it was kind of cool. So maybe that's what it was. They didn't have a museum to put them in, so they had to drive them out for the day, and I got to witness it. All right, we got more coming up on Just Plain Radio. More about Burning Man, more about Dennis's trip, and God knows what else. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along, Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew today. All right, so Dennis is planning a trip down to Orlando from Minnesota. Sounds like he has it planned out pretty well. Wouldn't you agree, Ed?
Yeah,
is there anything he's forgetting that he hadn't shared with us already?
Whether or not he's going to have you buy you an airline ticket to Minnesota to fly back with him.
No, he has two co-pilots.
Two kids.
Yeah. It's two co-pilots. Okay.
Well, obviously, Austin is a pilot already. What about the other one? Does she have
Abby,
a clue?
Yep, she's actually working on her glider rating, believe it or not.
Oh, sweet.
She doesn't want to wait till she's 16 to solo. She wants to do it now. So we found a glider club in Minneapolis, and so they literally took her under their wing last fall, and she has taken to that I don't know. She's all over it, let's just say. Any chance that she's not at swim practice or something like that, she wants to be down at the airfield and... She's getting pretty close.
Yeah, now, I wonder, you know, this sounds like a great plan because you got two kids there with you that are there to back you up or complain about your piloting skills.
Yeah, the youngest one is the first one to say, yeah, well, Dad, I actually know what to do with those pedals on the floor.
That's what I thought. So it's kind of a double-edged
sword. Don't
worry,
Greg just missed that whole comment.
No, well. I didn't. I know what the pedals are there for.
Right, but why would a glider pilot say that to a powered pilot, though?
Because they have to use them much
more. Yes, they do.
Yeah. So she already knows how to do all that stuff, huh?
Yep.
Well, I tell you what, doing that at that age, those kids become the best stick and rudder pilots out there. When they move to powered airplanes, you know, that they are just very smooth on the controls and always coordinated.
Right. But every time he makes any minor, you know, movement on the plane, she complains, and Austin complains, and just says, "Dad, get out of the way. Let us fly this thing. Show you how it's really done." And that gets annoying after about the ninth or tenth time. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you always can pull the dad card. I brought you into this world. I can take you out.
Sit down. Shut up.
Who owns this plane?
Yeah. Good point. Play the dad card. Absolutely. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying is the worst one because people come back from flights and they tell you their story. And it's like a horror story. They act like their flight was like a cattle car in the 40s in Germany. That's how bad they make it sound.
Right.
They're like, it was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. And then we get on the plane and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight, you non-contributing zero? That you got to fly? You're flying! It's amazing!
Oh, down there, the morning made of sailors in the air, keeping the midnight stars held high.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me alone. Captain Ed and Dennis. All right, so we have some drone news we got to get to here in just a bit. But first, let's talk about this Burning Man thing that's going on this week. Ed has already made plans to go out there and prance around the desert.
Bovine scatology.
In his skivvies, if that. It depends on what, you know, substance he's ingested, I think. And, you know, but he'll have glow sticks in hand, waving around, worshiping the sun, or I don't know. What do? Burning Man, you go out there and you get sunburned. Isn't that what it happens? Is that why they call it Burning Man?
Well, I think you want to avoid that.
They have a big statue that they build of wood of a man, and at the last night,
they burn him.
They burn it.
Oh, well, that explains why you want to go out there and do that. No, I admire people that take that challenge and go out there and experience a community get-together like
that.
Well,
that's what they call it. It's not a festival. I mean, the Burning Man Festival, it's more of a community. I mean, their whole thing is they go out into the desert out to the playa, and this whole community swells up, and then when it's done, there's no trace, and that's their whole mantra.
Yeah, I understand.
So
everything
comes out of nothing.
Now, when you watch, you know, when you watch TV and you see all the videos from it, they always film all the freaks, you know, with the nails sticking out of their nose and tattoos all over. But
that's why you want to go, because you fit in with them.
Of course, hello. No, but actually, I know a lot of people that go do that, and they're actually somewhat normal, and they do it for the experience.
Yeah,
you know. So I think, you know, visually on TV and maybe on YouTube, it might get a little bit more, it looks a little wilder than maybe it really is. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I would call it one of those bucket list things that, you know, really, you probably should experience something like that once in your life.
Yeah. Maybe. It may not be as wholesome as going to, like, Air Venture.
No.
But it's still a pretty cool thing that they do.
Put that and Sturgis on my bucket list. You know, I'd like to go to those as well. And I'm sure Sturgis isn't exactly wholesome either.
It depends on which wet T-shirt contest you're planning to attend, I think.
Exactly.
But you know, it's an experience. It's all about having fun. And the best way to go to Burning Man is probably the only way to go to Burning Man, really, is with a private plane, isn't it?
Well, I think people take motorhomes out there, too. But
yeah, you could RV it.
Yeah.
But flying your plane out, they actually create their own little airstrip out there in the desert, too. Is that what's going on? And when I say little, it's not little. It's a big, big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, they just, you know, it's a dry lake bed.
Yeah.
So they just land airplanes out. They might mark some area off for the runway, so everybody's landing in the same place.
Yeah.
Well, the pictures I saw on USA Today's article a couple days ago about it, I mean, they actually have a temporary air traffic control tower that's manned by volunteers. They call it a customs and immigration's office that you go through, which is effectively kind of the FBO.
Okay,
I mean, it's funny. It's just they've really taken it to the next level. But the planes that I saw, they had you know, big Cessna Caravans down to, you know, single engine planes. And it sounds like the big thing you have to remember if you're going to fly out there is bring Saran wrap and masking tape, because the dust gets everywhere. And so when you land, you shrink wrap your airplane if you want any chance of coming back out with the same amount of gross weight.
Really? Have you ever heard such a thing?
No, but that makes sense. Because it would get into all nooks and crannies on the airplane, and that stuff's heavy. Huh. That would definitely affect your gross weight.
What, the dust is heavy?
Oh, all that sand?
All the sand,
sandbags?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So Saran wrap, you shrink wrap your airplane once you get out of
it. Yep, seal out every opening. You know, think about the cabin air vents and your door seals and your windows and, you know, the whole cowl of the airplane's all exposed and open. You know, they want to cover up all of that to keep the dust and sand out of it.
Well, what did that article say as far as how many planes are out there, are flying out there? Did it have a number?
It was at least 50 that I saw, and probably far more during the peak of the show.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think, Ed? Would that be something that you'd put on your flying bucket list?
No.
You wouldn't want to just fly over it and watch it? It'd be kind of cool to fly over and just see it. You know what I mean? Maybe not touch down.
Yeah, well, no. I'd be much more up for Reno and something like that. In fact, that's coming up here in early September as well.
What, the air race?
Yeah, that's going to be pretty good this year. In fact, actually, that brings another thing up. That there is a pilot making a run at the all-out speed record.
At the Reno Air Race?
Actually, it's occurring. In fact, I think it actually might have occurred already.
At Burning Man?
No, not at Burning Man. It was actually, I think it was in Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they had the, you saw the Oracle team just a couple weeks ago, right, Dennis?
Yep. Tucker was right at my home field.
Yeah, they were hanging out. Sharon Wine or something. I forget what he said.
Well, actually, that's why he couldn't fly. He had cracked open a bottle of wine.
Like, so I guess I'll talk to these guys. But I don't know. Okay, so there's an air race going on.
Yeah, the cool thing about
speed record
is... it's being done by Steve Hinton Jr.
Yeah,
And it's being done in a highly modified race airplane that would normally race at Reno called Voodoo. He's the 7-time winner of the Reno Air Races. But what's really cool is he's only about 30 years old. He's been flying Mustangs since he was 18. And he grew up in Chino, California, around the Plains Fame Museum, which is exactly what his dad did. And his dad set the piston record back in 1979
of
499 miles an hour. And it was broken in 89 by a guy in a Bearcat. And his dad was a Reno Air racer as well. And so this is just kind of neat in that he's trying to follow in dad's footsteps.
To be a speed record in a piston-driven plane?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Well, that's cool. Like father, like son kind of thing.
Yep.
Continuing on the tradition. God bless him for it. Well, so what do you want to do? Go find out where he is and go say hi to him at the air race,
maybe? I would just seen the... Reno Air Race is just all I'd want to do.
Okay.
Because it is the ultimate motorsport.
And when is that? When is that happening?
It's in September.
September? Okay.
Have a computer, look it up. I'm looking up to see if they actually broke the record.
All right. Well, you Google that while we do the radio show. It'll work. No, actually, you know, we also have the AOPA fly-in in Tampa at the, the end of October. We were talking about that last week.
Yes.
We had Tom Haynes from AOPA invite us over.
Good.
And I told him that, you know, you and Keith definitely were planning to fly me over, and we were going to have a fun time over there that week.
Yes. Well, you know, that's the plan as it stands right now.
It is the plan?
If you remain nice to us.
Well, what are the odds of that? Come on.
That's why I said that.
You give me.
We can give you all the grief we want that you still, you know, you've got to.
Until you get back out to the airport and start taking lessons again, you're going to continue to receive grief from us and from the listeners.
Well, how about this, Dennis? You know, once your trip goes from Minnesota to Orlando this week, if that goes well and you get back and everything's fine, maybe you have to fly back down for that. Or are you thinking you're going to fly, you know, out west or over to the Bahamas or something?
Well, the Bahamas is still one of those things on the bucket list, and that was really one of the things you and I had talked about doing is, you know, once we get this plane and really kind of get the bugs worked out of it, so to speak, and I get comfortable with it, I want to take it across there. I think that would be a blast to go over to Bimini or Grand Bahama or Eleuthera and go hit some of these dive resorts and go places that I wouldn't normally be able to go.
Well, you can fly it out west and meet me out in Catalina. I'm going back out in Catalina during the middle of September.
Yeah, I would love to do that too. That's going to take some even more extreme flight planning because there's large rocks in between Minnesota and L.A.
Large rocks, these things we like to call mountains.
Just go south, do the El Paso Pass.
That's right. You just deviate slightly.
Keith's actually flown that pass in a 206 before, so he's got some experience.
So it can be done. See, Dennis? And you can meet me out there, and then we can land on that cool runway they have.
Guess what? Greg will pay for the fuel.
Right.
You can fly your plane out there. And
it's not April Fool's Day. I'm sorry.
No.
No, it's not. Just give me Keith's credit card. We'll be good to go.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Are you physically fit enough to scuba dive? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few ways to know for sure next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
You should check with your physician before starting a new activity and know you're ready for the physical fitness requirements for diving. Here's just one real-world activity test to consider. 1. Walk on land for 100 feet in your scuba gear. 2. Ascend a 5-foot vertical ladder from the water in same gear. And 3. Swim underwater in gear at half a knot for 30 minutes and just over double that for 3 minutes. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Actually, we're going to take off soon, so we're going to need you to turn off your phone.
I'm actually not done talking, and two more.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ned and Dennis rounding out the crew. Okay, so we can't do a show without some drone news. And I don't know, this was like a little drone story that was probably written just for me, at least the headline. Okay, so it says, a group of MIT researchers have created a system that uses small drones to read radio frequency ID tags. All right, that sounds cool. And then the researchers say the technology gives warehouse managers a more efficient way to log inventory and has the potential to help retailers reduce shrinkage.
I hate shrinkage.
Who likes shrinkage?
Was a problem you encountered scuba diving.
Yeah, there is not a guy alive that wants shrinkage. But it was, ironically, that headline or that little paragraph caught my eye.
I wonder why.
Can you imagine why? And then it's I read the story and I see, I see nothing like that on the story.
So you don't know what shrinkage is?
I think the guy who wrote the headline for this story, just like, hey, I can put these two lines together and the guys will love it.
And do you know what retail,
hats off to them.
You know what retail shrinkage is?
Yeah, it is when they lose stuff. People steal stuff.
People steal stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah, they can't track it, and so they call the booglers the shrinkage factor. But surely the guy who wrote that had a sense of... Or the girl...
They obviously were doing the play on words.
Yeah, and it worked. Caught my attention. But yeah,
imagine shopping at your local Target or Walmart and having to dodge a drone that's running down the aisles collecting inventory.
Yeah,
that would be that would be fun to watch. That'd be better than one of those Walmart videos, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
See those crazy looking folks actually dodging drones, you know, trying to save their lives, that kind of thing. I'd love
it. I could see some guy going into the sporting goods section and getting the new shotgun out, right?
That would be fun, too.
You bring that up, and I'm training with a Orange County sheriff's officer.
Oh, okay.
He's a private pilot fixed wing rotorcraft commercial. And they have a Cessna 206 that they use for surveillance, and they wanted me to train him for the commercial pilot fixed wing so he can fly that airplane for them. Hmm. And so we got talking the other day about some drone encounters that he's had, and then the DFA coming in to teach them about drones. Do you realize if that guy takes the gun and shoots the drone down with the buckshot, he will be facing federal charges of... Basically, shooting a firearm at an aircraft.
Hmm.
And he says, for shooting somebody's toy.
It kind of, when you say it like that, it kind of sounds like he's done this and doesn't really think it's a big deal.
Well, he's had encounters with them at night at 900 feet over a crime scene.
Oh.
And these drones are sitting off their wings. He says, we don't see them, but the observer in the helicopter sees them. He says, you know, that they've got little LED lights on it. And we saw that drone show down at Disney. And you could kind of sort of see the red and the green
as they
left. But he says, yeah, we saw them at 900 feet. And they said they caught the guy, and FAA talked to the guy, and they didn't do anything to him. The FAA did nothing.
Hmm.
Nothing.
So he kind of wants to open up the firearm.
And then they caught him again inside the Disney TFR.
Really? With the same drone? The
same drone.
So he kind of wants an open season on drones. He doesn't want
saying that he says he's been in law enforcement long enough to know that guy's just giving the FAA the finger saying,
yeah,
you're clearly not going to stop me. I'll go ahead and do whatever I please.
Hmm. Which kind of goes back to, you know, their toys, and if you designated a toy, then it's open season on those drones from his perspective, it sounds like. You prefer that.
Is that what I shot somebody's toy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, just hover a little closer to him and let the rotor wash take care of him.
Well, you could. Yeah, that would probably do it,
too. He said, ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't shoot at it because it's an aircraft, but you could throw a net at it or something like that, couldn't you?
Or if it interfered with your helicopter and you happened to put a skid right in the rotor blade.
Yeah, like I say.
Would it put a what
and
in
whose
the
fault
rotor?
Would it be? The skid of the helicopter, you know, just descend down on top of the drone?
Oh, just helicopter. Land on top of it?
And at that point, whose fault is it?
I think the bigger vehicle wins. Isn't it? Size
it
matters.
It will definitely win. Exactly.
It will definitely win, and that will be all that matters.
Which brings us back to shrinkage. I don't know. But yeah, it's kind of crazy how these things are going to affect the world, you know, whether it's reducing shrinkage in the retail market or, you know, whether we need to open, you know, season if they get in the way. There ought to be some rule that could deviate from the fact that, hey, you know, if you see a drone, you know it's breaking the rules. What do you do about it? Well, you call the authorities, but, it's going to be long gone by the time they get there. Maybe there should be some kind of rule that You could take it out. Or I don't know what you, what I mean, what could you do? There's really nothing you do. He would prefer to be able to take him down
yeah.
right away.
Yeah.
But he would be arrested, or what would happen? Or he'd just be fined? What would
No, what happens? It's a federal charge. It's a felony offense.
It's bad regardless.
That means jail time.
The FAA considers a drone as much an aircraft as it does the seaplanes in Sausalito. And so if you have the ability to take out that drone, what's to stop you from taking out the float plane that you don't like that's making all the noise in San Francisco Bay?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same argument.
I just wonder if that case has been tested yet. I'm guessing no. I haven't heard of anybody shooting down a drone.
It happened
sent to jail.
It happened
Of course it happened in Texas.
Yes. I'm like, God bless Texas. You know?
And the guy got sent to jail for doing that?
At least some level of criminal charges, from what I remember.
Well,
it's been at least a year or two since I've heard that. But
I'm not encouraging it by any stretch.
I would do the same thing.
You would shoot one down?
I would.
But you just said you're going to get an infraction or fined or whatever. Did you shoot down that drone?
I didn't shoot that.
Yes, my name is Greg.
I was shooting at the bird next to it.
Ah, I missed the bird and accidentally hit the plane. There's your excuse. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.